Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's another Friday night that the Lord has blessed us with. Is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, can you shout out hallelujah? Can you say thank you, Jesus? Say thank you, Jesus, for another day, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves together and worship you in spirit and in truth. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Face it today. If he did it yesterday, he can do it today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you cannot let that stop your praise. You can't let it stop your worship. Hallelujah. You got to continue to believe. You got to continue to have confidence in the Lord and in his word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. At this time, I'm going to call up Sister Kimani Griffin to lead us into a selection, followed by the word of prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord Jesus, truly it is a
great honor and a privilege to be here standing before you once again. Just give all glory, honor, and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I gotta make that personal. Sometimes you gotta make it personal. I'd like to thank God for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Truly, without him, I am nothing. Hallelujah. I give honor to my wife and my children for what God has done in their lives, how God is using my wife and his ministry. I thank God for what he's raising my children up in the pure, unadulterated truth of God. We don't want to take nothing for granted. Hallelujah. And just give an honor to my pastor, assistant pastor. Just thanking God that you made it back safely on the highways and the byways. And to everybody, all my brothers and sisters in the Lord, to the ministers, the deacons, the elder, Jamal, just want to thank God for this opportunity. I don't want to take this for granted at all. You know, as I was preparing for this message, as always, you know, God, he likes to, he likes to make me wait to figure out what I'm gonna speak about. And so, I was just thinking about, everything that has been going on. Personally, I know for me and other people's situations, it just seems like, our tests, our trials, our tribulations, our situations are just, they're more serious, I know for me, to compare what, I go through, I went through a year ago to what I go through now, it just seems like it's more severe. It seems like it's more serious. It's like, what? Sometimes when you hear certain things, you're like, what in the world? And it's like, what? Are you serious? And so, I was just thinking about all this and, what happened was I was taking my son to his football. He had a banquet, football banquet, ended up a season banquet. And as I'm thinking about this, as I'm thinking about, Lord, what will you have me to say? Well, please give me what you have me to say, because it's like Thursday night. And I'm like, I don't know what to preach about. And so we're on my way home from his banquet. And my son, he won a little trophy. At the end of the banquet, they were giving out these big, big trophies. And so this year, he didn't win one. And so on the way home, he's telling me, Isaiah, he's telling me, next year, I'm going to win one of the big trophies. He said, I'm going to start working out. I'm going to start lifting and doing my push-ups and my pull-ups and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. I said, you were doing it for a little while. What happened? Why didn't you stop? And he was like, well, when I was doing it, he said my muscles were real tight. And he said my leg felt like my muscles were gonna pop out of my skin. And I was like, yeah, why did you stop? And he's like, well, it hurt. And I was like, well, that's part of working out. If you wanna get stronger, and if you want bigger muscles, if you want to be faster, you got to continue to work out through the pain.
Right, come on.
And so, boom, that light went off. I'm like, okay, God, I see. Use my son. All right. And so, the phrase kept popping in my head. Anybody who played basketball, anybody who trained for any type of sport or anything like that, the famous phrase, no pain, no gain. The title of this message is, no pain, no gain. And as a scriptural reference, I would like to use Brother Job. And if we will please stand for the reading of his word, we're going to be reading from Job chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 13, and we'll go to 13 through 22. Hallelujah. And it reads as this, hallelujah. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Joel and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the savings fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have crept and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Joel arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked come I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Hallelujah. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us all pray. Hallelujah. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for this blessing that you've given us to assemble ourselves together in spirit and in truth right now. Lord God, our prayer tonight is that you search our hearts right now, Lord God. Try us and know our hearts right now. See if there be any wicked way in us right now, Lord God, and lead us in the way everlasting. Lord God, find us out through your word, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, bless your people, Heavenly Father, as your word comes forth. Let your anointing be upon your word right now, as well as the speaker, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we ask that you have your way in our midst right now. Meet everybody's needs as you see fit, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we're asking for a blessing. We're asking for your anointing to flow through tonight, through this message, Lord God. Touch somebody tonight. Encourage somebody tonight, Lord God, to want to run on and see what the end is going to be. Lord God, we thank you and we love you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. While he was yet speaking, these events that happened in Job's life, did this sound familiar to anybody? I know sometimes it just seems like it's one thing after the other. You know, we personally cannot compare to Job and all the suffering that he went through. And I wanted to use these particular events, and I want you to try and just view this as a church. This passage, 1 through 22, we know that these events happened to Job, but for tonight, imagine Job being the church. And the events that happened to Job, each event happened to each one of our saints. Maybe one day we'll get a call, oh, sister so-and-so, you know, to compare the things. I want to update the events that happened to Job and to our modern day lives. And it said it came to, and there was a messenger unto Job and said the oxen. So the oxen would be compared to money. Back then, how they told the wealth of a person would be how much cattle they had and oxen and different stuff like that. So imagine getting a phone call on your job or something. Sister Sharon, calling on your cell phone, you're on your job. Sister Sharon, oh my God, you never believe what happened. The bank that you bank at suddenly went under. And all the money that you had in that bank, you lost it. You wrote checks that haven't been cashed yet. What are we going to do? But at the same time, before she replies, Elder Mackey, you never believe what happened. I was riding by your block, and all the houses on your block, including yours, was destroyed. And all your possessions, your car, your brand new car, was destroyed. The whole block was laid out. While he gets ready to open up his mouth to reply to the situation, I'm Tyreen. You'll never believe what happened. You'll never believe what happened. That business that you started, somebody undercut you. All the progress that you made over the years is gone. Now just imagine this happening all at the same time. Imagine one thing right after the other. Now I want to give you an illustration. You know, I follow sports a lot. You know, I follow athletes and how they train and different things like that. No pain, no gain. And I remember my notes this time. Just like an athlete trains and works out to increase strength, or maybe he's a track star, he runs to increase endurance. If an athlete, let's use a bodybuilder for example. If a bodybuilder wants to increase in size and mass and strength, that bodybuilder cannot start off with, let's say, 200 pounds and expect to increase in mass and strength if he continues only to use 200 pounds of weight. If he wants to increase in strength and mass and maybe weight, every workout, or let's use monthly. So this month he's gonna use 200 pounds. And maybe this month he's gonna use 250, 225. This month he's gonna use 250, 275. In order for increase in strength to occur, he has to continue to add more weight.
All right, come on.
As a runner, an Olympic trainer, they train for 4 years for one race. If that Olympic runner only works out for 4 years running 1 mile a day, knowing that the Olympics is going to call him to run 4, maybe 5 miles. If he wants to increase in or endurance. Every day, he has to run 1 mile. Next week, 2 miles. Next week, 3 miles. And go on further on so that he can meet the requirements for when he gets to that final race. And I know most athletes and most athletes in the realm of all sports, they like to be over-prepared for the competition that they are about to face. So as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. So as a believer, and I want you to remember, and you all know the situations that you're going through, and compare it to when we first started. Compare it to a year ago. Has it gotten worse? Has the weight gotten heavier? Does it seem like you're running a little harder? Does it seem like you're pressing a little harder? Just like that athlete who needs to increase that weight to get stronger, God has to allow situations to come into our lives so that we can get stronger. He allows our road to become a little rough, only for a season. Only for a season. He allows that road to become a little rough. Maybe he'll make it to go uphill a little bit so that instead of running like this, we gotta run like this. So using Job as an example, one thing after the other, Job couldn't even open up his mouth to reply on the events that were happening. One thing after the other. So like that athlete, maybe problems are happening in your home that weren't happening a year ago. Push it up. Push that weight up. See, the scripture says God will not put more on you than you can bear. Imagine Jesus as your spot, as your trainer. He's saying, you can do it. He said, come on. I cannot sit here and allow you to do the same things you were doing a year ago. Because you will not increase in strength. Your spiritual walk will not go nowhere if I don't allow these situations to occur in your life. You'll grow stagnant. So I'm going to let this thing happen for the purpose of strengthening you.
All right.
I'm reminded of Elder Jamal's testimony. He touched on this a little bit. The process of how olive oil is made. First the olive oil grows, the olive grows on a tree, and then it's plucked. Imagine you being somewhere for a period of time, and then you're moved. I'm gonna take you, boom, and I'm gonna put you right here. And then I'm gonna let you sit for a second. But then I'm gonna take you, and I'm gonna grab you, and I'm gonna strip you. The olive, they take the skin off the olive. Once they take the skin off the olive, they crush the olive. So once you're picked and you're moved, God begins to strip you of different things. He begins to take little things in your life and take them away. In preparation for the crushing process. He takes people out of your life. He takes habits out you and bad for your growth, he will remove it.
All right, thank you, Lord.
But once he removes it, then he begins to crush. Once he gets all those old layers out, he'll squeeze you. He'll squeeze you. So that means squeezing will represent maybe you have financial problems that you just don't know what to do. Maybe you have family problems that you don't know where to turn. You don't know who to turn to, but God is allowing it to happen.
Right.
He's squeezing you. See, one thing that olive oil represents, the anointing. The anointing. The process of getting this olive oil, the anointing, is not easy. But in order for this anointing to take place and to come about, this process must happen. See, everybody wants to go from here to here without taking the steps to get there. Everybody wants to be elevated in the Lord, but nobody wants to go through the process to get there.
Right.
So I'm here to encourage you tonight by telling you the things that you are going through. I know it seems hard. I know that it seems impossible. I know it hurts. But like I told my son, you have to continue to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to continue to work through the pain. When it feels like your life is about to bust, continue to work, continue to praise, continue to pray, continue to worship. Hallelujah. When it seems like you're going crazy in your mind, the devil's fighting you in your mind. Hallelujah. Came I out of my mother. this room and make it shall I return again. So when God is removing during the purity process, God may take a car away from you. Because he may see further down, God looks high, looks low. He sees further than we do. Maybe that car is gonna drive you somewhere where you're not supposed to be. So he's gonna peel that car away from you. But when you have the mind of Job, naked, have I come into this world and naked shall I return? Maybe he's gonna call you to leave a job that you've been at for X amount of years and you accrued so much vacation time and so on and so forth. But God may see something further down the line at that job that's gonna be detrimental to your salvation and your walk. And he's gonna tell you, I need you to leave this job. Peel it off. But will you have the mind of Job? Naked shall I return thither. Then the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As you're going through your training, as you're going through your endurance training, I know I play sports. I play basketball. I don't want to look at my height. I play basketball. I was always the shortest, but I was the fastest. But I remember the conditioning period before the season started. I remember running that Albany Troy bike trail every day. And we had to run it because they would drop us off and drive to the other end and say, if you don't get there, find your own way home. So we would run. We would run. The first week was hard. The first week. And that's a 5 mile bike trip. Or just about 5 miles. And the first week, I ran a mile and I'm like, by the second week, I ran 2 miles and I'm like, by the third week, I ran 4 miles, I'm out of pace. By the fourth week, we ran it straight, pacing ourselves. Pacing ourselves. But every week, there was an increase. Every week, we ran a little bit more, and a little bit more, a little bit more, until the point where we were running straight.
All right.
So as the events occur in your life, as the tests and the trials come, I know they're getting harder. But if we want to elevate, if we want to increase, there has to be an increase in weight. There has to be an increase in our daily walk. There has to be more trouble coming at us so that we would know how to handle it. See, just like that bodybuilder who lifts weights maybe for 6 months in advance for a competition that it may only last an hour, God will allow more trials for a particular thing that he may have for you to do in the future. But if you don't increase in strength, by the time you get there, if you continue to just work out with this 100 pound weight, by the time you get there, you're not gonna be prepared. So just like that process of the crushing of the olive, imagine if that process did not take place, where would the anointing? And our greatest example is Jesus. From the time he had his last supper with his disciples up until the time he was crucified, that crushing process. process had to take place. Why? To save each and every one of us. If this process did not take place, where would we be right now? This process must take place. So I'm here to encourage you tonight. No pain, no gain. Don't stop because it hurts. Don't stop because you're tired. Continue to press. God is your trainer. God is your spotter. He's not going to let that weight fall on you to hurt you. He's standing right there. You are lifting this weight up, and he's like, come on, do it. You can do it. Lift it up. Lift it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift it up. Problems in your home, lift it up. Problems on your job, lift it up. I'm right here. I'm not going to let it fall on you. Hallelujah. Problems going on, lift it up. Endure. Run. Press your way. The finish line is right here. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. Don't stop. Don't stop.
Hallelujah.
You're almost there. You're almost there. When you get done, you're going to thank me. When you see what I have prepared for you further ahead, you're going to thank me for pushing you. You're going to thank me for these issues that you're going through right now. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Don't quit. Press it. Press it. Lift the problems up.
Generations.
So I want to encourage you to press on. To don't stop. Don't stop because it hurts. Don't stop because your muscles are about to pop through your leg. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop when it seems like I'm like, oh Lord, I'm going crazy. I don't know what to do. Don't stop. Pray to him in that crazy state. Pray to him in that crazy state. Because he's going to make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to tell you tonight, I know as things seem hard, I know things are changing. It seems like for the worse. It seems like things are just going crazy all around us. But no, they're not. They're all going according to God's plan. You see, God, he's putting more weight on. Boom. Put more weight on. And another thing, another example that I want to share with you is as a team, I remember Minister Lee referring to us, his church family, as his team. One thing about a team, there is no individuality in a team. So as one might be going through, guess what? We all are going to go through. Because if one goes through and nobody else goes through, we're going to be uneven. By the time this person comes out of what they're going through, they're going to be like diesel, spiritual diesel. While the rest of us are like, oh, he did. So God will allow different things to come into our lives all at the same time so that we can all grow and be strengthened together. All
right.
So that's why I gave the examples like I did earlier when I started. Because it is like that. To be on the wheel, it is like that. Get phone calls every day. I can imagine the phone calls other than Sister Cam get on a daily basis. I know it's one thing right after the other in all of our individual lives. But God's working it out. God's strengthening us. God is about to increase us as a whole, as a church family. So don't give up during this conditioning process. Because when we get out of this, we're going to be that much stronger. Hallelujah.